You're listening to Bible Prophecy Daily, a weekday podcast where Bible prophecy matters and matters greatly.
This is Bible Prophecy Daily, and this is a new episode, and I'm your host today, Jake McCandless with Stand Firm Ministries, where we're helping believers navigate such a time as this, and especially focusing on families and helping them have a faith that lasts, and navigating them and helping them stand firm in such a time as this. So I've been a bit of a party pooper. Last episode, I talked about we're chasing a lot of things, and I'm not necessarily talking about you, but in the world of end times and prophecy and those things, we chase a lot of different things. We need to make sure we know the biblical core, and so we took us back, and hopefully you listened and reflected, what is the biblical core of this end time narrative? Well, I'm going to do the same thing again. I'm going to rain on some conspiracy parades. Not only do we need to know the core, but I think one of the things that keeps popping up in biblical prophecy, in the explanation of the end of the age, is we have to understand the regional conflict. We must know the regional conflict at the end of the age. What? Now, granted, the end of the age, Scripture talks about the world being impacted. But at the core, there is a local conflict. Geography matters. It's brought up. The Lord's just not generically talking about some end. There is specific locations mentioned. And you know it. Ground zero is Israel. When it comes to Bible prophecy, when it comes to the end of the age, it is Israel-centric, Middle Eastern-centric. In Matthew 24 and Luke 17, he specifically talks about a conflict in Israel. We go to Daniel. Daniel broadens it a bit, but Daniel 8, Daniel 11 specifically talks about a Middle Eastern conflict, the neighbors of Israel and Israel. But if you go to all the prophets, in the midst of the restoration of Israel and the establishment of this messianic kingdom is constantly the judgment on the nations surrounding Israel. Yes, this is going to be a worldwide impacting thing. Conflict can't happen today in this global world, globally connected world, and it not be global. It's rare that there can be a war and it not be a world war now. It is surprisingly how long the Russia-Ukraine war has gone on without nations formally being on the ground, but still involved in it impacting economies and political decisions and all of that. We go back to the October 7th attacks in Israel. And again, it is global in its impact. You just can't have an isolated conflict for very long in this current world. But if we do not have, if we're not grounded in this regional conflict that is going to happen at the end of the age, then we're going to miss it. We're going to miss the mark. I'm a big hunter, love to hunt. And one of the things that you're taught in shooting is you got to aim for something. You cannot just say, so loved a turkey hunt. And I was in a place that had a lot of turkeys. It was going to be rare if you saw a turkey by itself. You just can't shoot among all the turkeys and think, it's a bunch of them. I'll hit something. No, you got to specifically aim. And so Scripture does this. It lays out this very specific location. And so we need to know this regional conflict. Again, there's so many things being chased when it comes to Bible prophecy. I think we take every corruption in our nation and in the world, and we lump that in with the end times. Listen, there's always been corrupt governments. There's always been empires that fall. There's always been empires that become increasingly sinful and God sends judgment. Like, that's a thing that's always happened. Again, in this global community, you know, global economy or whatever, how you describe that, that our world is, there's no isolated events, but still, the Bible talks about a regional conflict. So let's go back to Jesus' words on the end of the age. In Luke 21, he clearly talks about this regional conflict. Chapter 21, verse 20, Jesus says, "When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out, and let those in the country not enter the city." Specifically, Jerusalem. Verse 24, "They will fall by the sword and will be taken prisoners to all nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled." Very specific, this involving Jerusalem. In Revelation, we see that the Antichrist draws in armies from around the world. Nations, many other nations come with him. But the conflict is in Israel. Now, he says this in Luke, about the when you see the armies surrounding Jerusalem. When we go to Matthew 24, he talks about when you see the abomination and desolation, both of them taking us back to Daniel 11. And again, Daniel 8, Daniel 11 talks about this Middle Eastern conflict and eventually Israel being, Jerusalem being the destination for this Gentile leader who will come and set himself up there in the temple, bringing on this destruction. There is a central location, and we must realize this. I mean, Daniel 11 is so detailed that it talks about this coalition in the south, this king of the south, this king of the north, this coalition in the north, them battling it out. No one being there for Israel. Some setting back and letting it happen. But eventually the king of the north, I believe it's the Antichrist, coming against Israel. Jesus returns specifically to Israel, right? And his feet will be on the Mount of Olives. There is a specific regional conflict that we must keep in mind. I think one of the things we have to realize reading scripture that it is a literary work. The Lord did guide people to write this down. And in literary works, there are ways that authors try to make their point. You know, one of the things that always drives me when I read is like, why did they write this? What's behind it? How do you know that? Well, think of the things that they wrote. Think about the things they didn't write. Think about the things they repeated for sure. There's so many things that could be said about the end of the age, but the thing that keeps coming back up again is this central location. But one of the things that is repeated throughout the Old Testament is a Gentile tyrant ruler who comes against Israel. Over and over again, that gets repeated, right? I mean, starting in Egypt, then with the Assyrians, then the Babylonians, you have Haman, the book of Esther, and so on. It's something that's repeated, the same story. This image of Jerusalem being surrounded by armies is nothing new. I've talked about it before, but that picture, again, you have the same scenario in the time of Hezekiah as the Assyrians encircle Jerusalem. You have this with the Babylonians. Then you have this in history with the Romans and so on and so on. You have this picture repeated. The author of Scripture and of the flow of the world wants us to see this image because it is the central image leading up to the return of Christ. We see this spelled out in the most interesting way. If you go to Numbers 24, where you have Balaam, who is sent to prophesy against and cursed Israel. Instead, he begins blessing them and prophesying about them. But Matthew 24, you have his third oracle. And he's talking about God bringing victory ultimately to Israel. I want to thank one of our other hosts here, Travis Snow, for bringing this to my attention. But I want to pick up in verse 3, the actual oracle. The oracle of Balaam, the son of Beor. The oracle of the man whose eyes is open. The oracle of him who hears the words of God, who sees the vision of the Almighty falling down with his eyes uncovered. How lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your encampments, O Israel, like palm groves they stretch afar, like gardens beside a river, like aloes that the Lord has planted, like cedar trees beside the waters. What shall flow from his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters. His king, Israel's king, or God's king in Israel, shall be higher than, I'm reading for the ESV, it says Agag. Many of you may have heard this from Travis Snow or maybe someone else. But in the older manuscripts there, it has Gog. Higher than Gog. And his kingdom shall be exalted. Continuing in verse 7, and his kingdom shall be exalted. Again, this his, we know this belonging to God, this king of Israel. And I think as you see, as you continue reading, this talking about the Messiah, God brings him out of Egypt and is for him like the horns of a wild ox. He shall eat up the nations, his adversaries, and shall break their bones in pieces and pierce them through with his arrows. He crouched, he lay down like a lion and like a lioness. Who will rouse him up? Blessed are those who bless you, and cursed are those who curse you. But it's interesting if this is a mention of Gog. Of course, we have Gog coming up in Ezekiel, of this leader, this Gentile leader coming against Israel at the end of the age. And of course, you have this mention of the Gog and Magog war again later in the book of Revelation. But it's just this picture throughout Scripture, throughout the Old Testament, of this Gentile tyrant ruler who would come against Israel. One of the passages that really sent me down this path of reevaluating where I was and studying prophecy is Revelation 17. Beginning in verse 9, of course, this is the vision of the woman on the beast, and it talks about the beast, and it says, this calls for mind for wisdom. The seven heads are seven hills on which the woman sits. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen. One is. The other is yet to come. But when he does come, he must remain for a little while. The beast who once was and now is not is an eighth king, and he belongs to the seventh and is going to his destruction. So this beast has these seven heads and these seven crowns, and John's being told that these represent seven kings or seven kingdoms. Five of them have been. One currently is. One will come. It'll be here for a while. It'll go away and it'll come back. And that will be the final one. But it's this image. I've heard someone talk about, it's like the flags that have flown over Israel. The tyrant rulers who have ruled over Israel. In a sense, the Gogs. The forerunners of the final one that would come. This image is repeated throughout Scripture. It's important that we realize this regional conflict, because we're going to chase a lot of rabbits if we don't. As I've shared, one of the main focuses of Stand Firm Ministries is to focus in on and help families have a faith that lasts and stand firm in such a time as this. And I think every time I take this minute to share this, I'm just like, we just need to tell our kids the truth, and that is, I can't tell you how important it is that they realize and understand how central Israel is to God's unfolding plan. I mean, the heart of the non-Middle Easterners who are chanting in support of Hamas or Palestine, whatever that is, against Israel, are young college students. Satan is getting them while they're young. And so from the get-go, as we share these Old Testament passages, these Sunday school children's church stories, we need to help them understand God's not done with Israel. He chose a specific people. He chose a specific place, and he'll return to that specific place. Again, thanks for listening. I hope they'll lean in and see and embrace this regional conflict, and then let's build from there.
Thanks for listening to Bible Prophecy Daily. We hope you learned something valuable today. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss an episode.